Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Work Trends with Megan M. Biro. Whether you're here to network, learn, or share, we want you to have fun. During this live broadcast and Twitter chat, we'll discuss the future of work with smart and entertaining guests who value today's business and its impact on the world of work for the future. Stay tuned, because we start in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, it's Megan and Biro with Talent Culture here at the Work Trends Live podcast and Twitter chat. I'm hanging out. I'm in my new office space, everyone. I have taken the leap and gone to the Work Bar community, if anyone knows of that. And I get to hobnob around in Boston and Cambridge and Arlington, and it, like, totally rocks. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. Happy December, everyone. Time is flying. Excited to be here. Winter is here. I'm gonna get real cheesy with everybody and quote Walt Disney, just because I'm feeling this whole topic today of living a life of real living a life of real intention. All of our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. And I think, honestly, I mean, I know I poke fun at myself and that whole thing, right? But it's true. I think Walt Disney is super cool, by the way. So if any of you have the courage to tweet this and be part of Work Trends today, I dare you to speak your mind and be part of it. Today we have a really special topic. We're talking about something that I think is very important to everyone. Today's guest and I are just getting to know each other here in the green room. We're having some chuckles. We have Paul Cummings with us today, and he has spent the last 33 years, like, globally trotting around, and he's going to tell us much more about that, helping others improve their mindsets, improving their leadership, sales ability, and really, like, he's super stoked on changing people's lives. And you know, I think right now we all need, like, this positivity, because, like, life has just gotten really weird. I don't know about any of you, but it's just been a weird year on so many fronts, whether it's political or personal or business. I think, you know, I'm having so many conversations with people that it's just been one of those years where I think we all need to hear something positive, and we need to remember that the sky's the limit when we use our creativity and we look within. And I know it's that end of the year time where we all tend to want to do that. I know I'm doing a bit of that. So change is in the air. So listen, Paul has learned a lot of key insights that he's going to share with us today. He is the founder of Whoople. Paul, is it Whoople for real?
You know, it really is, Megan. And hi, and thanks for having me on. We actually have a T-shirt that says it's not waffle, it's not waffle, it's not Whipple, it's not Whoopie, it's Whoople.
Okay, everybody.
It's a lot of things.
Okay, it's Whoople, everyone, just in case you were wondering at home. They are a video-based educational materials organization that offers reporting and really cool functionality, like an internal YouTube channel. I want to hear more about this, so welcome, Paul. It's great to have you here today.
Hey, thanks. I'm excited to be on the show with you.
All right, so where are you today?
Time of the year. Today, Yeah, I'm looking at it out of the beautiful body of water. I'm down at my vacation home in Florida, and a little bit of fog this morning, but it's starting to clear, and that's a fantastic thing.
That's a really fantastic. Now, do you have one vacation home? Because it sounds like you're traveling all over the place, like literally trotting the globe. So tell us just a little bit more about what it's like to be Paul Cummings, and what led you to have this career and this lifestyle where you're traveling a lot. You're speaking a lot, it sounds like. Tell us more about you for those who don't know enough about you.
Well, at the sake of brevity, when I was 18 years old, I took a summer job because I needed to make some money to go to college. And I had a friend talk me into going and selling books door to door, which doesn't sound very amazing when you think about it. I went to a little town in West Virginia and knocked on doors from 7:45 in the morning to 9:55 at night, 6 days a week. They convinced a kid that if you knocked on 80 doors a day, you'd get in 30 of those houses. And if you got in 30 of those houses, you could close 6 sales. And if you did that, you could bring home a couple of $1,000 at the end of the summer after you paid your expenses. And to be frank with you, what I really got out of it, I earned a little over $4,700 that summer, but what I got was a master's degree in business, life, entrepreneurship at a really young age, because through all of those doors, most of them being slammed the first couple of weeks, you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about how you're going to respond to rejection, what you're going to do to develop a positive mindset. You know, will you still knock on the doors when the storm clouds come, when the rain's falling, when the thunder's crashing? And that's pretty much like life. So I fell in love with the business of sales, but more importantly, what I really fell in love with was the ability that we all have as individuals to control our mindset and to develop a life that truly produces positive outcomes. Fortunate to have had that opportunity to hear all the great speakers I did in that 1 week sales school. So that was kind of the compass, I think, that kind of set the dial for me. And then I went home, went to college, only stayed a year. I was restless, Megan. I wanted to do something. So I went into the auto, insurance, and real estate space, tried to do three things at one time, and worked on buying and selling real estate, opened a real estate firm, sold insurance in the evening, sold cars during the day.
Wow.
And really began to develop kind of my own approach to serving customers. And when I was 26, I decided that I had created enough content that I wanted to open up my own seminar company. So I did. And, you know, I was 26 years old, and I looked like I was 15. And so here I am putting myself out there as an expert with only a handful of years of experience. But 34
well,
years
later.
Well,
and this is, I mean, not to date you too much, Paul, but, I mean, this was like a long time ago. Like, this is
1975.
Oh, my gosh.
1975, when I had that summer job, and then 6 years later, I guess 8 years later when I was 26, I opened the business. And it was, it's just been an amazing journey. I mean, it's taken us all over the world. I've conducted over 5,000 live events, six continents.
Wow.
It's just been amazing. And so we've always believed that if you can leave it better than you found it, then people will always be attracted to your work. And so we've taken a very unique approach to education. We tell people you're going to come to an education program, a party's going to break out, and your enthusiasm's going to soar, but you're going to actually learn things you can apply, not theory. So we have a reputation around our energy, our intensity, the quality of our content. And so how I ended up here was just literally I sat down one day and asked a simple question. It's kind of the feature question in my new book is, what do you really want? And for me, that simple statement, I want to leave it better than I found it. The next question was how, I want to teach. The next question was who, and that was anybody that wanted to live a more compelling journey. And then I had to figure out the what and all the incremental things that I needed to do to build a successful business. And so that's been the driving force. I wrote the mission statement, changing lives through dynamic instruction. And we didn't want to be one of those companies that show up with a dull, boring PowerPoint and put you to sleep. We wanted to create an
Thank
experience.
Thank you for that, by the way. I think we're all a little tired of PowerPoints.
Oh, my gosh. been to too many of those. And, I just didn't want that to be a part of the journey. But, you know, look, we've been really blessed, really fortunate. Our core clients have stuck with us for literally decades. And today our e-learning platform, which is just one vertical of what we do, we serve a tremendous amount of content, about 250 million minutes a year of content globally. And, we're very, very excited about that. We record a couple of thousand new videos every year, so we have a huge, robust content library that our clients can plug into.
Who are your clients? Like, what are these people? Are these brands? I mean, talk to us a little bit about that.
Let me give you one great example. I've got a great client over in England called Virtue. They are they're an automotive company, but the really cool thing about their story, they're owned by a guy. Publicly listed company, but the guy that heads it up is a guy named Robert Forster, And 10 years ago, he literally sat in a room with five colleagues with a blank sheet of paper, some sticky notes, and said, how can we build the number one automotive company in Europe? And today, we are their education company. We go over there four times a year. They're on our learning system. They watch a tremendous amount of our content. But from scratch, literally from a blank piece of paper to today, they employ about 5,500 people.
Wow.
They do about $3 billion. Yeah, $3 billion a year in annual income. So that would be the type of client we work with at the enterprise level. And then we have a lot of individual small business owners. When we built our learning platform, I was frustrated that learning management system were reserved for the companies that had massive budgets. So unless you were a big company that had $250,000 to get in the game, there really wasn't a learning solution out there. So we just asked a better question. How do we create a simple, affordable, fun, efficient way for people to learn? And we've built an e-learning platform that any small business owner that wants to be able to educate their people 24/7, 365 can do it on a very low budget and do it at the highest of quality. So we kind of caught that industry napping a little bit, and we built a tool that allowed us to, you know, we really did. We saw a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
For instance, most learning systems charge you for content upload. We give all of our clients free access to all the back-end tools. You can upload, create your own content.
We're all about, we're all online. We're all learning for free now. It's a tough sell.
Absolutely.
You know, learning is everywhere, especially here at the Talent Culture community. You know, I'm super passionate about online learning. That's why, you know, we're here. That's the whole goal, is to empower and have everybody learn something new around the world of work, the future of work, reimagining what it's like. You know,
absolutely.
Speaking of that, we're all fearful of failure, I think, in certain ways. I know I've been, and I continue to be. There's parts of me that are super brave, and I'll plow ahead, but there's parts of me that do, you know, when I look at it, I fear failure on certain things. How do we reprogram ourselves to dare to dream if we knew there wasn't the possibility of failure? Because I think so many people want to hear about that right now.
Yeah, I think the first thing is, you know, you just said it, that, you know, what one dream would you dare to dream if you knew, being the key word, that you wouldn't fail? I look at fear as, this is maybe surprising to you and the audience, I think fear is one of the most positive emotions on earth. And I think the mindset towards fear determines what you do with it. I think fear is an action signal that's basically like a red alert in your brain saying something's about to happen you're not prepared for. So I believe fear is really a catalyst for positive change. I think that if you understand the only real failure in life is not after the things
not
that
doing
matter
anything.
Most to you.
Just not showing
not doing
up,
anything.
You know?
Right, getting stuck. You know, when we were going to build, this is really funny, we were going to build the e-learning platform. Everybody in my company looked at me like I was an eight-eyed monster who had decided to take a drug. Because if you say Paul and technology in the same sentence, my whole team will laugh. Because I don't know anything about technology. I don't know anything about technology. And that was the fear. Oh, my goodness, how much are you going to invest in this? And it was a couple of $1 million to build the system out and code it. But for me, what I did know something about was I knew something about content. I knew something about intellectual property. I knew something about building something that an audience was attracted to. And we had already built a big audience. So I was just like a kid in a candy store about it. The scarier it got, the more excited we got. So
yeah,
I think
yeah, I
mindset,
have that. I have
yeah.
that part of me too. Totally got it.
Yeah,
it's exciting,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, who wants to wake up every morning and know everything about how this day is going to unfold? I certainly don't.
Well, that's a person. That's a person.
Know?
Yeah, having five kids, I can tell you that I've learned from my kids. If you ever wake up on a day and think you know everything, that's the day you're pretty much done. So my kids remind me constantly that I'm not always right. That's a good thing. But, yeah, I, to be frank with you, have always found that when I get a little fearful of something, it usually my mindset is, wait a minute, I must be onto something. This wouldn't it wouldn't be heightening my alert system if I didn't have this gut thing going on. So I think fear is a
That's
positive
true.
Thing if we look at it the right way.
Why do people grapple with how they respond to negative circumstances? I mean, how can people get themselves into the proper mindset for responding in a positive way if someone's hating on you, if someone is just in a negative place in their life? And that stuff spills into work, as we know, right?
Yeah, you know, you talk about this year we've all been through. I mean, we've had a year of watching the response of people all over the world to things that have been really, really unique in how that's been done. I think a couple of things about that. One, you got to make a choice in what you're going to participate in. And you have that power. I think the greatest gift you have, I have, and, you know, when I met you, before we talked today, I said there's three things about you. You were whimsical, you were witty, and you were fun. And that came across in our conversation, right?
That's so funny. And you and I just met. I was like, Paul, how do you know this about me? How are you reading? And we're not even looking at each other on Skype. We're just talking. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. It is, but it was actually true. It still is. But the big thing for me is this: is you know, if you got a battery, you got two plug. You got a positive side, you got a negative side. And here's a great little old age wisdom I got from my grandfather. You just can't get a positive charge off a dead battery. I don't care how many times you plug into it, it's not going to give you anything. And I believe inside of every circumstance of our life is a seed of equivalent good when you first view it as negative. You've just got to change the questions you ask about it. For instance, what can I do differently next time to make it better? What do I need to do less of to have more of what I want? What can I do to make this a more engaging, compelling conversation today? Maybe you've got a negative person in your company, and instead of being taken back by their negativity, get challenged and inspired by helping them turn that into something positive. So I think outlook has a lot to do with output. I really do. And another thing, too, you can't imprison yourself in negative circumstances. There's a great quote by a guy named Benjamin Disraeli. I think he was a prime minister in England one time that said, men are not the creatures of circumstance. Circumstance are the creatures of men. And it's not the circumstance. You know, growing up in Louisiana, you know, when someone dies in New Orleans, we have a parade. We celebrate the journey that was.
Oh, I love that, by the way.
Not the life that's lost. And so that is just outlook. And that's what determines output. And the other thing, you got to be careful about who you put in your circle, right? And if you invite people that have a negative outlook into your circle, then you're going to continue to get exposed to that. So I think surround yourself with the right people. I think that if you're positive enough.
People don't always change. I have made the mistake in my life of thinking that somehow, some way, I'm going to change this person or they're going to behave differently. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm a believer in positivity and everything, but I'm also a believer in that people are fundamentally who they are. They can improve upon that. What do you think about that angle?
Well, Megan, it sounds to me like you got trapped for a while in the same place I did. I had this crazy mindset that I could fix everything and everyone. And to be frank with you, it was exhausting sometimes. And I finally think I did. I came to the same conclusion that you did, is that you've got to look for those people that really want to change, that want to get better. And change, you know, all change isn't positive either. And so I think, you know, what you say yes to is important, but I think what you say no to is more important. And I had to finally learn to say no to some people, some circumstances, and some relationships that just weren't going to work out after my best effort. And it doesn't make that other person a bad person. It does.
That's right. It's just not a fit. It's not a fit for where you are in your life. And I think we all go through that, you know?
We do.
And it's okay to be honest about that, right?
Well, yeah.
So what you're really talking about too, Paul, I don't mean to interrupt, but we're talking about self-discipline and organization, right?
Mm.
I mean, what is the one thing that people can do to begin to implement this, what you're talking about and what we're talking about right now, into their daily lives that moves the needle in achieving goals?
Well, I think a lot of things about, you know, goal setting. We could do maybe, I don't know, 100 shows on goal setting. But I think this may be sound off topic, but it's not. I think having a morning routine is one of the most important things you're ever going to do in your life if you want to be effective at goal setting. I'm a firm believer that how you begin your day affects your day. So I think if you go study billionaires all over the world, they all have a morning routine.
Yeah.
They do, and they are systematic about it. If you look at the word self-discipline, comes the word disciple, means to follow. But that word self means the act of following. So following your own plan, following your own routine, creating a positive environment for yourself. So I think the best way for people to get unstuck is to make sure they start every day. And they start with something that's positive, that can be repeated, that can be developed into a winning habit pattern for themselves. And, you know, goals are really, to me, the catalyst to dream acquisition. And I think we get stuck. I think that goal setting has been misunderstood for a long time by a lot of people because it's been taught so many different ways. But at the end of the day, you know, a goal is not a wish. It's a commitment with a deadline. A goal has to be seen in your mind's eye before it can be seen in action. You have to have the willingness to get out of the I should business. You know, so many people talk about, well, I know I should do that, I know I should do this, and they should, or they should all over themselves. And instead of getting to the I am and I will business. And I honestly think you can change your life by what you claim. And if you are willing to say, I will be the most enthusiastic person today, I will be open-minded to the ideas and conversations with other people, I will operate today with self-discipline. Those statements, that mindset development, that clarity that you get through positive conversation, positive self-talk, it's not hokey. It's as real as rain. When you walk through it, you get wet. And so I think that, yeah, I really do. And one of the big tragedies to me is in companies, I speak to thousands of people a year. I've never had anyone say no when I say, how many of you believe goal setting is important? Everybody's hand goes up. There's no one in the room goes, I want to be the one person who says I don't.
So yeah, I don't want any goals. I want none of that.
Right. No, I don't want
but,
to go.
You know,
I
think a lot of people struggle, Paul, in fairness, with the self-discipline needed. Like this morning, I was supposed to do a hot yoga class as an example. That didn't happen because I somehow was up too late last night. And the list goes on and on. And, you know, I had to get in. I had meetings scheduled, right? It's like, you know, that's the first step is just, like, making it a priority. And I love this whole idea of waking up early. I'm feeling like I'm doing more of that and wanting to do much more of that. Can we ask a question?
Okay.
What's your schedule like these days? What time do you get up in the morning?
Well, if you knew me better, you would know that I've told people, why would you want to practice the closest thing to dying you will ever do. So I'm not a huge fan of a lot of sleep. I get up at 5 a.m. regardless of what continent I'm on every single day. I have a really rigid first 45 minutes that's really around reviewing my goals, reviewing my priorities for the day, spending time visualizing the outcomes I want to create. I am a notorious believer that what gets written down gets done, what gets prioritized gets done first. So I tackle all the difficult things first. I have an action list. You would probably laugh if you were in my house right now. I've got a whole wall filled with gold sticky notes in this beautiful living room.
That doesn't surprise me.
So I think small step strategies too, Megan. I think that's the big misnomer in goals is that everything has to be bigger. I believe you need to think bigger. But I believe you need to get on the small step business. You need to take small incremental steps. And that whole discipline thing comes about from repetitive behavior. But look, you know, life's not perfect. This morning you missed a hot yoga class. But if the hot yoga class had been more important to you than what you did in spite of it, you probably would have been there. So I think it just comes down to life happens to all of us. You know, I just came back from a four-continent, 50-day book tour all over the world and got home for what was supposed to be a relaxing Thanksgiving and ended up with two parents really, really sick, you know, and bringing my dad home from office. I didn't know that. You have to.
Sorry to hear that. It's
okay.
Right?
Listen, he's 90 and the most amazing guy. He's contributed so much. So appreciate the good thoughts. But my point is there's just times that you have to recalibrate. and rework your list. And I think it's just part of it. But the thing, you know, is
well, you know what else, too,
it's a habit.
Yep. Get rid of your baggage. Like, I feel like hanging on to baggage from the past stifles our progress, right?
Yep.
There's so many people that fall into the trap of getting stuck in negative situations.
Absolutely.
How do we turn that into a learning opportunity? That's my question for the audience right now, for all of us, as we look to next year as a new beginning. You know, how do you just lose the baggage? Baggage, I hate baggage. It's part of life.
Well,
I struggle with it. I know others do, right?
Yep. Oh, look, I have to. Anybody that says they didn't, probably not being, you know, really honest with themselves, and definitely not with others. But I had a really good friend of mine when I was struggling with that at a point in my life, probably 15 years ago, that said, listen, Paul, when you look back with the regret, you look forward with worry, you destroy all your present moments. And I think that was just a profound statement. And I believe that, you know, when you travel lighter, you find freedom. And the baggage is heavy. It really, really is. You can't pour the milk back in the carton. All you can do, I have a premise I use called loss lesson. Every loss in your life, every setback is a lesson to be learned and a stepping stone to be created. So I like to look at those moments and say, what's the lesson? How do I turn it into a stepping stone? And instead of it being baggage, I try to make it an accelerant. I try to make it fuel for future fire, not regret for past failure or setback. And look, at, you know, those kind of statements sound easy, but at the end of the day, it's like if you have a relationship breakup or someone hurts your feelings or someone makes you mad or you lose a client and they've moved on, but you don't. I promise you the only one that's being hurt by that is you. It's not them.
Yeah, that's true.
They moved on.
That's very true.
It is true. So if you let go, you can grow, but you have to let go. And I just look at it. I may simplify it too much, Megan, but I'll tell you how I view it. I look at every single day as the only thing I have is that day. And I really believe in this premise of manage minutes and moments and your life becomes magical. And I can do that for a day. I can do that. Then I'll recommit tomorrow morning. But I'll do that for a day, and I'll do it every day. And so I think it's a really great premise for people to think about and to just learn. And I think journaling is a great way to let things go. I think asking positive questions instead of negative questions. And, you know, I keep a journal and ask these two questions. What did I learn today? What did I give today? I answer those in my journal every night. And then I answer, what impact do I want to have tomorrow and how can I best achieve that? Those positive questions have been the framework, to be frank, of where all my work has come from.
It's wow. It seems so simple, doesn't it? It seems very simple to me, but I think many of us are not doing that. Like, I think that takes discipline to sit down. I do that. Like, if I'm in yoga, that's my place where I just think. And I just have my space and I meditate. I've been meditating a bit more, which I'm really enjoying, by the way.
Fantastic.
But, you know, I think if you were to say, and we're down to about 90 seconds, and this has been, you know, I think just timely. I think we're all ready for a refresh or a new start. If you were to say, you know, how can we best live each day as our most, and I'm going to use the word authentic. I know it's totally overused at this point, but it's sort of true. What three tips do you have to help us as we start to be more authentic in 2018?
Okay, so I have this little premise that I teach in schools, inner city schools across the country, and all my education audiences. Just three simple things. You be you. The you is understand who you are. You're right, authentic, that word, authenticity, may be overused, but if you don't make a good you, you'll definitely make a lousy someone else. So if it is overused, it's still true. The B in the UB, the B in the UBU is be true to yourself. I see so many people lose their life trying to live in accordance with what they think someone else wants them to be, and they lose their own identity. And then the other thing is stay unique. Just be unique. You know, I think about artwork, think about a Picasso. Why is it so valuable? It's valuable because it's the only one on earth like it. It is truly unique, one of a kind. It's a rare masterpiece. Well, so are you, Megan. right? We all came here equipped for greatness, designed for accomplishment. We just need to stay unique, be our best self, and it's amazing what life will bring to you when you do that.
Paul Cummings, thank you for being here. Let's take this conversation over to Twitter. You rock.
All right. Thank you, Megan. I had a blast. We'll see you on Twitter.